Welcome to The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a really creative week. And if you're not having a creative week, I hope that the frustration of the week is not so bad and that you're at least enjoying a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and just trying to relax, not put too much pressure on yourself. I get asked a lot about what do I do when I'm kind of blocked photographically, or what do I do when I can't make a photograph, or what do I do when I'm frustrated with my photography? What things do I think photographers would focus on when they're not actually taking pictures? So I thought this week I would talk about three things that I think every photographer should be doing or spend time doing that they maybe don't do or don't do on a regular basis that I think would make a big difference in how you approach your photography and what you think and understand about your photography. And if you've listened to the podcast for more than a couple episodes, it probably won't come as a surprise for you the things I've selected. But either way, I'm going to talk about those three things this week. The first one is sketching and drawing. I think one of the things that is so important about the way we create photographs is how we approach composition, how we see light, how we see color, how we see textures and tones, how we create those compositions within the frame. Because unlike painting, we're somewhat confined to the real world. Unless you're compositing digitally or compositing in the darkroom and you're assembling multiple images together, you're somewhat bound by the natural world that's in front of you. So the more you understand that, the more you see that, the more you respond to that, the more interesting your photographs will be. And I think sometimes the camera puts a constraint on us that we maybe don't understand about our own creative practice. And the limit of the camera somewhat precludes us from becoming and developing into the artist we're meant to be. Maybe you're more abstract than the camera allows. Maybe what you see and actually focus on is different than what you actually photograph. Maybe you try to create kind of more classic landscape compositions or classic portrait compositions, but you're more of an abstract person. Maybe it's form and texture or lines of light that become interesting to you. So learning how to edit into those, how to actually create photographs that better represent the actual way you see the world is more important. And I think that's where drawing and sketching comes from. And I know you're sitting there thinking to yourself, one, either I love to draw and sketch and I'm a genius at it, or two, in the more likely scenario, because you're a photographer, I can't draw and sketch. Well, first of all, nobody has to look at what you're drawing and sketching. So if nobody else is looking at it but you, and you just accept the fact that it's an exercise to help you behind the camera, you could probably let that go. But what I suggest you do is get a set of colored pencils if you work in color, or get a set of charcoal or multivaried shades of gray pencils and sketch. Get a sketchbook and go find some place where you would normally photograph. Go find some place you can sit for a while and actually sketch. And don't worry about if you're a good sketcher. That's why they're called sketches. Basically, what you're going to try to do is just draw the scene in front of you and give yourself the freedom to draw what you find interesting about it. So maybe it's not drawing the literal scene that's in front of you. Maybe it is. Maybe it is trying to fabricate an exact replicate of whatever the scene is in front of you. But if you're no longer confined to the limitations of the actual objects and lines and forms that are in front of you, what would you emphasize or de-emphasize? Would you maybe go more abstract? Would you do more like impressionistic? Would you be more concerned about form and figure? Maybe it's shapes of color instead of the actual shape of a building. Maybe a building just becomes a yellow square with no discernible element to it, or a soft line becomes a hard line, or vice versa. Maybe living things become more abstract, and maybe inorganic things become more literal. Who knows? Just whatever you feel like sketching, or however you see that world in front of you as you attempt to draw it. And giving yourself the freedom that you don't have to draw what's literally in front of you. This is not an exercise to help you understand composition. This is an exercise to help you see and respond to the world in a much more organic way. So if you're able to go and look at what you're creating, and you're able to look at the drawings you're making and see like, wow, what I really like to sketch and what I really like to draw is really abstract, but most of my photographs are much more literal. Maybe it's time to figure out a way to get that abstraction into your photography. Maybe that will make your photography seem more like you and be more rewarding. Or maybe you realize that, wow, when I sketch, I really emphasize lines and I emphasize the shape of things, that maybe your photography needs to lean more in that direction. Or maybe it's the exact opposite. When you sketch, nothing has a hard line. There are no diagonals. There are no straight lines. Everything's got a softness to it and a fluidity to it, focused on color. That maybe that's something then to think about in your photography. And then things like soft depth of field and camera movement and slow shutter speeds come into play as you start to blur and blend various elements together. So using that sketching is a way to help you identify what the world might be and how maybe you're not incorporating that into your photography, or maybe it'll just reinforce what you're already doing with the camera and just give you a different way of seeing. But either way, I think you'll find that sketching in that manner will provide you a significant way to move forward. The second element is reading. And I think we spend a lot of time reading, some of us. I think some people avoid books at all costs and will go see movies. But in this case, I think reading is important. And I think reading a couple of different areas is important. One, I think reading stories is important, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, because as photographers, much of what we do is storytelling. We're in the storytelling business. The better you are at telling the story, the more interesting your photography becomes. And even if it's just simple abstraction, being able to create a composition that allows for the movement of our eye as we move from point A to point B throughout the frame and experience the totality of the image is an element of that storytelling. Reading stories helps us create and understand how stories are structured, how characters develop, how plot develops, and allows us to understand how characters interact with their environment and how they interact with each other. Those things will become important in your own photography. Understanding how to create better stories and tell better stories will make your photography better. Also, I think it's important to read about the history of photography and other photographers. I think it's important to understand where some of photography comes from, how it's influenced, how our understanding of the medium is influenced. And by going back and reading about photographers that you may not be aware of, that you may not have an understanding of, whether they're famous or not, or they're popular or they're not, find a genre or a group of photographers you don't know anything about. Maybe you don't know a lot about African-American photographers. Maybe you don't know a lot about women photographers. Go read and research and dive deep into those artists and learn, how did they approach their work? How did they create their work? What's interesting about their work? How does that influence other photographers? What do we see in other photographers that are attributed to those photographers that we may not have even have known about? So getting to see and understand the history of photography is important. And I think reading about it, reading about what photographers say in a biography, or reading about what they say in an article, or reading about what somebody else wrote about them is important, because it removes us from just looking at their photographs. And while we can learn so much about a photographer by looking at their work, in some ways, reading what they wrote about, reading about what they understand about their work. And if you look at something like The Sweet Flypaper of Life by Langston Hughes's literature and Roy DeCava's photographs, you get a richer history and appreciation of how literature and art and photography come together, and also how they overlay our understanding of our world and our communities and how we interact with one another and how we develop as a culture, how we develop as a community. All of those things become important. And by reading, we get a deeper insight than we would by just glancing at the photographs. I think they work hand in hand, but it becomes critical to actually pick up a book and read, like I said, not just for getting a better understanding of plot and character and scenery, but also to get an insight into photography and its history and why that's important to us. The final thing is what I call a location meditation. And this goes back to something I've repeated, I don't even know how many times by this point in the podcast, but getting present to the moment, getting aware of the moment and understanding what resonates within that moment so that we can photograph what we actually respond to. So for this, all I recommend you do is go to a location that you would normally photograph and find interesting and give yourself 30 minutes. What you're going to do is for 5-10 minutes, you're going to sit there and you're just going to listen. You're just going to smell. You're just going to experience what you think you taste, and you're going to experience what you see. Write down all of those reactions, not while they occur. Give yourself 10 minutes to think about everything you hear and write it down. Then spend a few minutes, everything you smell, write it down. Everything you see, Write it down. No matter how simple or how stupid you think, like, oh God, I've already heard that bird chirp three times. Bird chirping. If you can guess what kind of bird it is, write that down. If you have a story about that bird chirping, write that down. Anything you respond to in that meditative state for those 30 minutes, what do you see, experience, feel, hear, understand about that moment? That is a skill, a muscle that you're building so that when you're out with your camera and you come across a scene and you're attuned to being present to the moment, you're going to be able to figure out what you're responding to. Is it a sound? Is it something you see? Is it something you hear? Is it the alignment of certain elements within the composition in a frame? What is it that's happening that's going to allow you to pull all of those elements together into your photograph? But by having a hyper-awareness of the things you're responding to, you'll get a better hit rate on your photography. You'll get a better hit rate on your photographs you take because you have a better awareness or a higher level of awareness of the thing you're responding to in the frame. To do that, we have to practice. We have to get muscle memory. And if we don't do this without the camera, it just takes longer. We have to go shoot, come back, figure out why I photographed work, think about the response, think about the attunement we felt. But if we can actually go out and just practice what it's like to have that response ahead of time without the camera present, we'll accelerate our ability to actually respond to and come up with something significant in that moment. So those are the three things that I think photographers should be focusing on to really move themselves forward. We need to focus on sketching and drawing, reading both fiction, nonfiction, and history, and then also a location meditation to really get ourselves grounded into experiencing what we find interesting in the world. So I hope you would try at least one of those out this coming week or the next couple of weeks and see if you get any results from it. If you get any spark of creativity, any spark within your photography that you didn't have before. And if you do, go ahead and give the other couple a try and see what happens. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what a small change in your approach and the little things you do outside your photography can have on getting you really significant work behind the camera. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget to check out the other podcasts if you haven't listened to them. And also don't forget to find us up on Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you need a podcast. So if you're out and about and forget to take your iPhone or Google Play or whatever with you, you can always find us up anywhere on any of the podcast channels. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.